Yeah, I think like really embracing that mindset just helps you be creative too, because you're not afraid of failing anymore. You're like, you know, if it's not failing, like if you don't frame it as failing, you just frame it as like, we're just gonna see if this works, then like it doesn't stop you from like trying things that your ego might stop you from trying otherwise.
What's up, guys?
Howdy, brother.
Welcome back to another episode of Whiskey and Water.
Look at us. We're consistent. We're showing up again.
Only because we're in person. We've had this in our calendar for like 3 weeks. That's the only way we can do it.
We should record we should bring the mic and record an episode next week with Anna.
Oh, genius. Okay, we have some updates for you guys, speaking of which. But before we get into those, we have an awesome, awesome episode for you with the marketing director for Candela Rum, Andriana. She is such a superstar. She talks all about how this is her first position right out of college, how she is working in a startup, really laid down the foundation for all of their marketing, digital marketing efforts. And you guys, she is just a baddie. And also, for this being her first podcast, she fucking slayed.
She killed it. It was such a good episode. This is like one of those like good FaceTime episodes. You know what I mean?
It's like one of those conversations where I was like, I could stay here for hours. Like we could talk about, it's like that TikTok where it's like, oh my God, I love when someone asks me these questions. Okay. I think like that was me the whole time. I was like, just keep going. I can talk about this all day long, but really, really sound advice about getting started in the industry, creative burnout, especially for like digital designers. So company culture. Yeah, that was a huge topic. And it was just really such a value-packed episode. So you guys are going to love it.
Yeah. And also just speaking about Candela Rum in general and like kind of like the ethos of the brand and like what she's made of it. It's a really amazing brand. It's one of Miami's new hottest liquor brands on the market. And, you know, we love supporting small businesses. We love supporting startups, especially when they're local to us. And you guys know, although I took my little sobriety stint, but she's back at it and she's back with Candela. And it's based out of, it's based out of Miami, but they get the rum from DR. And we just love supporting local. So you can find it in Publix. And she also told us a few different places where you can get like Candela specific drinks, which is like Soho House, Esme, if you guys are in local to South Florida as well, 1K Raw. So we'll definitely be trying those out.
Yeah, she had some really hot, like, good Miami recs. I think that was, like, off the record, but we'll maybe add them in the description for you guys, because I feel like people are always, like, asking us. They're like, hey, I'm coming into town for a bachelorette. Like, what bar should I go to? So we'll include those. But before we get into that, let's do a little bit of catch up, squirt, squirt. We have, like, one pretty big update for you guys, I would say. That is, you know, we have the last time we rebranded the pod was 2020, 3 years ago. And of course, as we do, we're evolving and another rebrand is coming, you guys.
Guys, we're so excited.
You have to, I can't imagine you guys don't know what it would be, but we'll fill you in.
So we're going on, so October will be 4 years of Whiskey and Water. And it's been like the most fulfilling ride journey ever. Like it was our first baby, our like our first business together, our first love, you know, like it's Whiskey and Water laid down the foundation of our entrepreneurial journeys essentially. And it's been so amazing. And we just feel like you guys know we're so transparent on this podcast with like, you know, feeling inspired to show up and like, you know, how much it kind of, as much as we love it, how much of a toll it also takes on us and how much bandwidth and time it gets poured into this, you know, as a passion project, it, you know, definitely doesn't make it easy, but we continue to show up because of you guys and how much we love showing up for you and how much we love the podcast and the inspiring conversations that we have. And again, we just felt like for us to continue this and for it to make sense, it was time. It's time for a little shift. Do you want to announce?
So we will officially, and this time we're actually probably going to be changing the name as well. We haven't changed the name in the past. So this time we are officially rebranding Whiskey and Water Podcast into the Socially Ambitious Podcast. Yay! We obviously, as you guys can tell, are super excited for this change. And when it comes to topics, not much is going to change. So like the idea originally came about because I was laying in bed one day thinking about Socially Ambitious and just like our journey and what that's looked like the past year with the course and just like hearing our graduates and their success stories. And I was like, we need to have a podcast for Socially Ambitious. So we can have that this format to interview, you know, graduates from the course and tell us about how their lives have changed since taking it, or interview influencers about interview other course creators, interview influencers who have hired assistants and now their life is so much better and they have better work-life balance, like all of the things we can talk about. I was like, we need a podcast for it. And then Jess and I, a few weeks later, were having a conversation about this podcast. And, you know, it was kind of a hard conversation of like, you know, we're at a fork in the road. Like, do we continue it? I would hate to lose this platform and this audience and this relationship that we've built with you guys. And it's like, it just feels like such a waste to throw that away. And, you know, if we ever were to stop and then try to start it again, it would be really hard. And then we had a light bulb moment of like, let's just turn Whiskey and Water into Socially Ambitious. And again, it's like, we already interview so many creators. We talk so much about social media. We talk so much about delegation that it really just makes so much sense.
Yeah. And again, like really nothing is changing. Anna will be joining us for, you know, a lot of the episodes moving forward. It might even just be us. We might even just like, you know, show up solo. It's going to make it a lot more, you know, palatable for us to do.
So yeah, we are super excited about this change. It feels super aligned, you know, like as things do for us. And it's probably, I don't know when we're aiming for this. I think last time we talked about it was like beginning of the year. Maybe it'll happen sooner than that, who knows, but regardless, it's something we're very excited about. And we've talked about the course so much on the podcast as well. A lot of like our first students were brothers from the podcast, so it just really feels so aligned and it just makes sense for us right now. And it's like we can already feel it's like re-inspiring us so much for the podcast and like the conversations we're gonna have. We're feeling like, you know, as much as we love everything that we do in every conversation we have, we've been covering the same topic for 3 years now. So, you know, a lot of the things mentioned, you know, it was almost just feeling like, I don't know, we wanted a change, you know.
And not to mention, like, as much as we love Whiskey and Water, it's like not so much us anymore. Yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, at the beginning of our friendship and our entrepreneurial journeys, there was like more of like a stark difference. And honestly, I've just grown up a little bit.
Now I'm an alcoholic.
and I'm a wellness girly. But I mean, I think at the end of it, I've just like grown up a little bit. And like, it's not that serious. Like for me to be like, I made drinking and I made being an alcoholic my entire personality, you know what I mean? And it's genuinely just not me anymore. Like even after my little sobriety stint like in August, I really feel like I've sort of like healed my relationship with alcohol. Like I genuinely feel like a shift. Like even like tonight, like I, you know, I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I wanted to like go out, but tomorrow morning I want to like have a good day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to see all my friends, but I'm not going to drink because I don't feel like doing that. Like, and that feels like okay to me because I would rather wake up tomorrow morning and like feel good about whatever. We're not talking about my sobriety right now, but again, it just feels really serendipitous for us. It feels like the right change. It feels like, it feels more sustainable for us. And, you know, like, again, we love this show. We love you guys. And like, we've never been able to fully let go of the podcast. And that's for a reason, right? It's because we've never like felt called to, like, we've always felt called to like, hold on to this. And like, even if we had to do bi-weekly episodes, or even if we can't show up for 2 weeks, like we still make it happen. And I feel like this, you know, this shift is why, and we're really excited for the change. And I'm excited for like the name change and like to do a new photo shoot and like, you know, like rebrand things. And we'll probably move everything over to Socially Ambitious just as one hub, like probably, you know, kind of get rid of like the Instagram altogether and just make it like, yeah, just a kind of a hub.
And with all of that being said, we will be introducing a third co-host to you guys, who is Anna, who is our co-founder of Socially Ambitious. And we're so excited to bring her on to the pod as our official third co-host, because she is so fantastic. I mean, she's been pivotal to our lives in the past year alone, and she just brings so much to the table and adds so much value to not only our company and our brand, but our lives as well. You know, we've grown to be such good friends with her, and we'll actually be with her in New York next week. So we'll bring the mic and we'll probably do an episode there for you guys. But that's super exciting too. And we haven't quite figured out the format. We don't know if it's going to be all three of us every episode, or maybe it'll be one of us and a guest who can be like a previous student or a graduate, or it'll be all three of us like covering a topic. Maybe there'll be two of us sometimes. We don't really know. We're kind of, you know, we're in the very early stages and we're going to figure all that stuff out. But either way, we'll be showing up. We will be continuing the podcast. We will be continuing to foster a relationship with you guys, our brothers who we love. And yeah, we're just super excited.
Aside from that, though, we have so much else is going on and it's like so exciting. And even like, again, with like mood, we told you guys, you know, a couple weeks ago about like mood transitioning and like just, you know, how much better things feel for us. I have super exciting news, and I'm going to be spending around 6 weeks in Australia this year, which is super exciting. I just got the notification that the flight was booked. So I'm super excited, and like it just feels so crazy. Like I feel like those words coming out of my mouth is like insane. Like I'm gonna be spending 6 weeks anywhere that's like not home. Like that's crazy.
And who are you going with?
Don't worry about it. You know, we can only save so many surprises per episode, guys. We gotta next week, maybe. So really exciting. And Liv has some really exciting news as well.
I am not going to Australia for 6 weeks, but I did sell my duplex. So for the OG brothers who have been along since our beginning of our journey, you know, I was pretty transparent about my first real estate investment property, and we bought it in 2019. We lived there for 2 years, and then for 2 years we were landlords, we had tenants in it. We renovated. Yeah. So it was a really, really in-depth process, but we decided in the past year, we had been on the fence for a while if we wanted to keep it forever and wait for the value to go up even more, or if we should sell it. And Tyler, my fiance, and I decided we would sell it, and we did. And we feel really, really strong about the decision. And I didn't want to mention anything because it's a kind of a long process. Like it took over a month to close, which is like so frustrating because everything is up in the air. And it's like, you don't know if it's going to happen. You don't know. That's the thing about like real estate transactions, is just like, you can't jinx it. Anything can happen at any point. So we wanted to wait until everything was super official. And it is, and we feel great about it, and we're happy about it. It feels great. It feels like the next kind of step for me and Tyler's, you know, lives, and just a new season. So yeah, happy to say goodbye to the duplex and goodbye to Fifth Ave, because it was the trenches.
Goodbye to the gunshots and the bullet holes in the house.
It was cray cray, but we did it. Like I'm so proud of us. Like we did it. Like we put our head down and grinded, bitch. Like we lived there for 2 years. It was not an easy place to live, but I'm just like, I love that we can say we did it, and I love that we did it together, and now we're like reaping the benefits of our labor and our what is it, fruits of our labor, whatever. But yeah, that's the update, you guys.
So exciting. Could not be more proud of you guys, happy for you guys, and just honestly I'm glad that like that liability is like behind you guys. Honestly, like fresh start.
I was just waiting to get a call from a tenant saying that the whole duplex was like up in flames. Like that's like, that was my worst fear.
Yeah, so glad that's not happening. But yeah guys, those are the updates. Super exciting stuff. I hope you guys love this episode. If you guys have enjoyed it so far, please take a screenshot, share it on your stories, let us know that you're listening, send it to a friend that you think that would love it. We always love hearing from you guys. So please slide into our DMs. I'll give you the tea on who I'm going to Australia with, maybe. Gotta bribe you guys with the content. And hope you guys love this episode. Bye, brothers. All right, guys, we are live from our virtual whiskey and water table with Andriana. She is the marketing director for Candela Rums and just an overall badass. So for those of our audience that aren't already acquainted with you and who you are, tell them a little bit about what you do and why you're joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. For everybody listening, I'm Andriana, and I am the Director of Digital Marketing at Candela. So anything digital, anything with a pixel is what I do. Social, email, website, influencers, collaborations, anything that's digital, that's what I'm over here executing.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're actually really excited to be partnering with Candela, which, you know, it just makes sense to be having you on and talking all about your journey with them and just your journey as, you know, an entrepreneur yourself, essentially. So tell us a little bit about how you kind of got into digital marketing in the first place. I'm really curious because you've told us off pod that you kind of, this was like your first role outside of college, which I think is really cool. And I feel like you kind of hit the jackpot with that. And it seems like you have a lot of autonomy in your role and a lot of like responsibility. So I'm really curious to hear just kind of how that journey has been for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in college, I had a couple positions, you know, internship positions where I did a little bit of digital marketing. It was mostly on the social media side of things, but there was one experience that I had in particular with another small business. And I got to learn so much from the people that were working there. In any small business, you know, there's a lot of people splitting all of the tasks. And there was a woman that was on the ads team who really taught me everything about digital advertising, which was like such a great experience to have so young. So I kind of was able to like have a couple things in my resume when I was applying for jobs. I found Candela. It ended up being like a perfect match. And when I got to Candela, there wasn't really any like digital playbook when I got there. I have friends that work in digital marketing for bigger companies and they go into the position and there's, you know, here's what we do for social media. Here's what we do for email. Here's what we do when we like do an influencer gifting. Here's everything that you need and you're just going to execute it. None of that was there when I started. So I was really figuring everything out. Just like really got right into it, just jumped straight in and learned everything that I possibly could, you know, to get to where we are now.
I love that. And I think that like, it sounds like to someone who doesn't understand and has never been in a position where they have to build something from the ground up, it just sounds like, oh, okay, you just like, you know, started doing that. But it's like people underestimate how hard it is to start from scratch and to like build up systems for things and just like really figure it the fuck out, honestly. Like that's something we always say is like FIFO, but it really takes a special type of person who is capable of doing that. So I'd love to know, like, at first, if that was something that intimidated you, was it exciting to you? Like, how did you first like see that opportunity?
It is exactly what you said. It is exciting, but it is also really intimidating. I think that there's so much information out there. There's so much access to like learning new skills now, but it's also very saturated in being able to establish this is good advice and this is not good advice. You know, I think you're thrown into a position where you're going to be learning something every day and like really outside of your comfort zone. But just kind of being able to navigate like how you're going to get through that. That's like a skill in and of itself, is like learning how you're going to learn and how you're going to be able to keep learning new things.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like, I think it also adds to like the excitement of the position. Like it, every day is something new. It's an ever-changing sort of position and industry. Like you have to constantly stay on top of like even like with what you're saying, like anything with a pixel, right? Like even just design trends and like staying on top of that and like continuously innovating and like staying on top of like even like with AI coming into play and like making sure that, yeah, it seems like you have something to say there. Do you want to take it away?
No, you make such an excellent point that there's so much new stuff constantly coming out. And I think it's a really hard thing for brands or creators or anybody to like stay on top of everything that's trending and all the new tools that become available. The way that I've kind of been able to like navigate that, I guess, yeah, there's just so much new stuff constantly coming out. That's like a great thing about social media. There's an endless stream of inspiration and people that are creating, but also, if you're a brand, you have to really be able to like stay true to your brand book and your brand identity and identifying which trends truly are going to be something that like aligns with your audience and aligns with your brand to stay consistent. But I mean, even as just like somebody who consumes digital content, I feel like there's a new trend every day. Like the latte hair, the blueberry eyeshadow, like it's just
strawberry
like
girl makeup, tomato girl makeup.
Like it's so much. And I'm like,
girl, squash girl makeup. No, it's crazy. And even like I saw, I think it was like an Instagram story or a TikTok the other day, and it was like at whatever major grocery store, it might have even been like Erewhon, but it was a photo of like all like the canned fucking beverages, right? And it was like, it was Poppy, which, you know, Poppy was like the OG, like, you know, super colorful canned beverage, and that's why they were so successful. But you looked at the shelf and it was, everything was colorful and in the same branding, because people like, you know, just saw something that worked and took after it, which, you know, kudos to them. Like if you don't reinvent the wheel. But now I would be curious to see like what Poppy's marketing now looks like, now that they have to like, now they have to innovate again to stay even more fresh and on top of that. So, I mean, I'm sure your position's like kind of hectic.
Right. And even to go off of that, like as a brand, you'll see brands like Poppy pop off, and they have a very look. And I think, you know, for people that are starting out, there's so many great resources like Canva, for example.
Yeah. Big Canva girls.
They ain't Canva girls, but you know, you'll see like a design and everybody will be able to like get access to that same template, and then everything same. So like as a brand, you really want to pop off. But then I think it just really comes back to like having such a strong grasp on like your brand identity to make sure that your brand still feels like organic and still feels very fresh and like comes with like a creative edge that nobody else is going to be able to duplicate. You know, and that even like goes for AI. Like that's something that is like so hot to talk about right now, and creators feel very threatened by you know, this coming in and being able to like, I guess, take work away from people. But I think everybody that has a creative position, like you can't duplicate our brains, you can't duplicate creative eye, and like use it as a resource to help you like optimize your workflow or scale what you're doing. But like I think that there's, when you see so much of the same thing, the consumer also feels that, and it feels very boring and gets stale so
100%. Fast. And like, even with like, we have, you know, our course, which we teach people how to become influencers assistants. And in this, we provide a few different templates and a few different resources for them to take and then use on their entrepreneurial journey. Right. And in the course, we're like, hey, by the way, you have to realize every single other person is also getting these exact same resources. Please take them and make them your own. Like, it's simply a base for inspiration, which is how I feel like Canva and like those kind of templates should be used as well, because it's like, yeah, everyone's going to be using the same freaking thing. And like, there was this, there's like this course creation, something like, you know, this resource on Instagram that we loved, and their Instagram was at With Honors, and they had such cool branding and we loved it. And like, they were just staying on top of like everything. But now if you go to Canva, everything looks like their branding. I mean, yeah, because, you know, it was cute and it was good, but very easy to like duplicate and like recreate. And so, yeah, it's just like constantly staying on top of things, but also just using different things as inspiration versus, you know, just white labeling, essentially white labeling digital marketing.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. Like it's crazy. Like when you refresh the Canva templates and then you look at what your Instagram algorithm or your TikTok algorithm is showing you, they're just like copying and pasting that. It's boom, boom, boom. Exactly. Like the same thing. I feel like there's almost like a pressure from these algorithms that like create this. There's just such a high demand of content all the time. Like if you're a brand or you're an influencer, you have this like overwhelming pressure to feel like you always have to be putting out stuff that's like on trend. And like, it almost like, I don't know, like oversaturates it. And like,
it's like fast fashion, but like in social media.
Yes. Know? No, yeah.
It's not sustainable.
I haven't been able to describe it. That's exactly it. It's fast fashion for the creative design world.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I find myself, even when I'm consuming content, I'm like, okay, I want to like take a little silly TikTok break and like scroll for a little. I can't turn off my creator brain, because everything I see, if it's a good trend, I'm like, oh, I should do this. Oh, I should remake this. Oh, I should implement this. Like, and of course my For You page is like a lot of educational content for influencers and creators. And so I'm like, there I am watching a 3-minute long video about how I can like up my content game. And I'm like, oh, this isn't even fun anymore. Like, I wanted to come on here and laugh.
Right.
Wait, speaking of, Liv came on here and was, wait, I think she made a TikTok about how there needs to be a like separate tab for education. Guess what I'm looking at when I was visiting with my family over the weekend with my older brother. I'm like, what's that tab? I've never seen that. It was an education tab. I'm like, genius.
Mark Zuckerberg, he is on it. Everyone running these platforms are listening to you.
No, they are. And they were like, you know what? We saw Olivia's TikTok and we're actually going to listen to her. That's what happened.
I'm like, run me my check, Mark. You're welcome for the consultation. No, but, definitely not.
But it's so true. I'm actually glad that they're implementing that, because if you work in this space, like, my entire Pinterest board is just like work inspo. And then I'm like,
I
want to see the hairstyles. I want to see the fashion. Like, outside of my industry, my entire Pinterest is like packaging inspo. Landing page templates. It's just like,
and then what used to be pleasure just turns into like learning, which like I love, you know, like I obviously it's showing me that content because I consume it and I watch it and I send it and I save it, but it's like, I just want to laugh on sometimes. I just want to have fun. I would love to, circling back to your position with Candela, I'd love to learn a little bit more about what type of like management you stepped into or had when you first had the position, because it sounds like you had a lot of creative freedom like off the bat. And I feel like for that, your managing whatever leader has to really like trust you or give you full kind of creative control. So what did that look like? It sounds like you didn't have a micromanager either, which I love that.
Shout out to Alejandro if you're listening right now. Alejandro CEO of Candela, and he like very openly embraced me and gave me all the creative freedom that I wanted. Obviously with his guidance and direction, like keeping whatever projects I was going to work on or try to help the brand, keeping that towards like one central goal. But like, he really gave me the freedom to like creative problem solve in a way that I wanted to execute it. He wasn't telling me, you know, we have this campaign, you have to do it like this, this, and this. It was more like, hey, here's like an abstract goal that we're going after. For example, like earlier this year, Candela launched in Publix nation or statewide here in Florida. And he's just like, hey, doing this, what are you doing on digital to support that? And then I kind of come back and like, here's some ad campaigns that I want to run. Here's like email SMS that I want to run. I want to do influencer gifting this way to help support that. Kind of like giving him solutions, but it's never him directing me and saying, this is how you have to do it. And I think that it's kind of like the beauty of working for a small business or in a startup. You have to be ready to like be able to answer those questions when you're put on the spot like that. It can be out of your comfort zone if you've never done something like that before. But when you have management that like really supports you and believes in you and is willing to give you the resources that you need to execute, it doesn't really feel that intimidating anymore. You're just like ready to just jump at it.
Yeah. And that just goes to show like what can happen when like people like relinquish control and allow people that they hire to like flourish in the positions that they're hiring them for. You know what I mean? Like there's so much like micromanaging that goes on that really stifles people's creativity and, you know, just overall like happiness and work as well. Because like when you have that creative freedom and, you know, again, that autonomy in your role, like it makes you want to show up better for the brand. It makes you want to invest yourself and your time in the brand and the brand's success, because you know that the people that you're working for are also looking out for you too.
Absolutely. I think there's like two pieces of this too. It's like one, strategic problem solving, like how are we going to tackle this together? But also I think him and I make a really great team as far as like creative eye and creative direction. I think there's just like so much synergy, which also helps take a lot of pressure off of me from feeling like I have to be creative on it like 100% of the time. I feel like I have like creative burnout in that sense, where I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to design this. I'm just like so stuck. I feel like he and I just like really align on like the brand aesthetic and the brand ethos and where we want to take that. And I feel like that really helps me, where I don't feel like I'm just like inundated or like overwhelmed, you know, like design work or design management.
Yeah. I love that. That's so nice. And it's honestly so special. And I can tell you don't take that for granted. But, it, you know, when you do find that beautiful, like, kind of partnership, it really is something to hold on tight to, because it's hard to find, honestly. It's hard to find people that you work really, really well with and that, you know, you're happy to show up every day to work with. So that's super special. I'm happy for you.
And I can tell you guys have that too. Like, yeah. It's special and you really can't replace it.
You can't. I mean, we spend so much of our lives working. It's like, if you're not enjoying what you do and the people you work with, like, it's time to, life's too short, you know, to like show up to the job and hate it every day.
That's why people have like work besties and work like work wives.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, I'm not in favor of people having work wives and work husbands, but you know, like, there's a reason that like that dynamic happens.
Right. No, if my boyfriend ever came home and like referred to my work wife, I would not be happy with that.
No, like, I'd not be okay.
No, but he's an engineering person in an office with all dudes. So
you're like, wow, that's crazy. Are they hiring?
You're like, no, I am your work wife. I would love to know, since you did mention like creative burnout, I think that's something a lot of creatives struggle with, even on our end as content creators, you know, constantly trying to figure out how to, you know, not make something repetitive or put an edge or stand out from other people. I would love to know what inspires you, especially when it comes to like graphic design.
Yes. Inspiration. I think I pull mostly from vintage aesthetics. Sorry. I love the aesthetic direction that it had and just like that very, I don't know, like thoughtful detail. But I think when you look back at old magazine ads, they had to be so thoughtful because that's what they were paying for. And that was the only way people were going to see their brand, or billboards, for example, or just any of these like tactile things that they were advertising with back in the day. It wasn't this like constant stream of content. So they were so thoughtful about like, how are we going to place this image in with this image? What is the exact copy we're going to look at? Some brands that like I love to look back at. Obviously I work in the liquor industry. I love looking at vintage Bacardi ads. Vintage Porsche, if you go and look at some of their ads, the taglines and the one-liners that they put in there are so funny and they're like so true to the brand. I love vintage Victoria's Secret as well. I think they just really nailed creating fantasy in a way that like maybe there aren't many brands to this day even that like really executed like, here is an entire fantasy world and like we're selling you this fantasy. You mm-hmm. can have I would
buying into a dream, buying into like the lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. I think brands try to do that now, but like so many of them fall flat when they do like rinse and repeat. Obviously this is what Candela is trying to do as well. We're trying to share our Latin brand universe with everybody. Just, you know, the United States, you've like seen a rise in like Latin culture weaving itself into pop culture. And like, that's the brand that Candela wants to be for everybody and like really try to sell that fantasy as well. But those are, you know, a couple of brands that I think really like hit the mark, and like consumers, we kind of miss that. You know, I think that that's just something that's lacking, and there's like an opening in the market for a brand to like be that brand. And that's what we're here to do.
Yeah. And I would say just, I took a quick look at the Instagram just while you were saying that. And I feel like it really shows like your inspiration. Like I loved like that pinned video that you have with like the video, like, you know, like the little reel with like the zoom coming out, like, so like it gives such a nostalgic vintage feeling. And I think that you're definitely like hitting the nail on the head with that. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think the great thing too about living in Miami is like everybody's creative, or just like in everybody's like very creative. So when you find creators that you find synergy with and that can like bring your vision to life too, it just is like so magical to see the vision that come to real life. And now that's on your brand's Instagram and people are resonating with it.
Yeah, I love that so much. And kudos to you, because that page is, wow, chef's kiss. Like, beautiful. I would love to know what advice that you might have for someone who is looking to get into a similar, you know, space, a similar position. Maybe they're freshly graduated, studied graphic design. Like, what would be your best piece of advice, especially in this day and age, like currently?
Yes. Let me think about this for 1 second.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm like trying to think back to what I did, because I really love where I am right now. So
no, I love that.
I think it's definitely important to have a mix of skills in your resume and just being able to demonstrate knowing how everything works together. So if you want to work in digital marketing and you really want to own social media, you should also know how to build an email list up, or be able to demonstrate why what you're doing on digital is going to help whatever business you're working with or working for. So I think having just a general understanding of how all of the pieces work together is really strong to help you stand out against other candidates. But that being said, make sure that you know the one that you're the strongest in and don't overcommit or oversell. I think when you can demonstrate that you have knowledge in something very specific, that also will just take you to a job that you truly are going to be happy in. I think too, it's just a matter of being able to stay current and just knowing how you're going to continue to keep growing. When you're very young, it's a big ego shock when you leave college, because you're a senior or whatever, and you think you know everything, and then you come to the real world and you don't know anything. So just being able to continue that and just really embrace being uncomfortable with not knowing something, and then very quickly just figuring out you're gonna do it, you're gonna be fine, forget imposter syndrome, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, being adaptable, being flexible, being able to move with the with the unknown without letting it paralyze you and stop you from being well-rounded, essentially.
Right. And I think too, there's just a lot of pressure when you're first getting started to just start. And yeah. I think that's great, but also be picky at the same time too about what you say yes to. If you are in a job interview and you feel anything that feels a little bit, I don't know, uneasy, or you don't know if you're going to fit with that culture, your coworkers are going to be everything for you. Yeah. You really love the work that is in your job position. That's going to be a huge part of your life. So I would just be picky and be selective, be open to things that you didn't think you would like. When I first started, I was not, I could not see that this is where I would be now and all of the things. And embrace all of the challenges that you're given, put your ego aside, and just, you know, it's okay to fail. I know that is the most cliche thing to say, but when you fail, you also are you're learning so much just in that experience, and knowing what's going to work.
Yeah. And what you like and what you don't like. And, you know, sometimes failing is our biggest blessing in disguise. It's cliche, but these things are cliche for a reason. And you know, we would have never in a million years guessed that this is where we would be based on where we started our journey and, you know, starting different companies. And failure is also, you know, it's a social construct at the end of the day too. Failure is simply just it's a perspective, it's redirection. And I mean, being fired from past jobs that I've had, or not being hired for jobs that I really wanted. Oh my God, thank God. Because I could not be happier with where we are now. You know what I mean? So it's I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. I think really embracing that mindset just helps you be creative too. Cause you're not afraid of failing anymore. You're you know, if it's not failing, if you don't frame it as failing, you just frame it as we're just going to see if this works, then it doesn't stop you from trying things that your ego might stop you from trying otherwise.
Snaps, bars. Yeah, she just said, don't be afraid to be seen failing. Yeah, because it's really just a perspective. One person could see it as a failure, another person could see it as a pivot. You know, there's so many different things, so many different ways to view things. Okay, last question to wrap everything up. This has been so, so good. And kudos, this is your first podcast? What? Snaps. You need to make your own podcast. You're killing it. But
maybe one day I'll take your courses and learn how to do it.
Yes, you definitely should. So I feel like startups in general kind of have a bad reputation. I often hear just whether it's on TikTok or from friends, it's usually like tech startups, but like startups in general, I feel like kind of had this bad reputation of like, it's a shit show. Like you think it's going to be all good when you apply for the job and then you get there and nothing is figured out yet. And it's a mess. So, and I see that you've had such a good experience with Candela. I'm curious to know what you feel like they did right for you to have such an amazing relationship with the team, with the brand, to be, and to honestly, and to be fully invested in the brand success, because I feel like that's also rare to see nowadays. It's kind of just like that you go into the office, you play the role, you go home, but it seems like you take so much pride in working for the brand. So I'd love to know, in your opinion, what you feel like they did right to cultivate that really healthy like work culture.
Yes, I think that Candela's work culture is what makes it so special to work for. All of our coworkers, there's just like a level of respect in what everybody does. It's a small team, so everybody has to just like be prepared to get their hands in somebody else's work when the time comes to it. There's been times where like I need my coworkers who have asked me how to log into their Gmail, like really no understanding of digital, and like they're helping me out, or like they're out hitting the streets and they're like, oh, you got to come do this with me, and I'm happy to do it. I think there's just like a level of respect and just like being open to like helping one another that makes it not feel like a shit show. Definitely, I've seen those TikToks that you're referencing where like startup culture can be crazy, and I'm not trying to downplay that. If you are working for a startup and you feel that, everybody feels it, and like it's just about like embracing that chaos and knowing that something great is going to come out of it at the end of it. There's a lot of good in being like throwing yourself into situations where you're uncomfortable and just like being able to like be a sponge and get all of that, get everything that you can out of these experiences. No matter where you are, like in your career, there's always going to be stuff that you don't know how to navigate. And like when you're in a startup, I feel like you see that everybody kind of like going through that cycle all the time. And it just, it like brings a sense of camaraderie, or like you don't feel alone in going through that. If you're struggling, you always have somebody to rely on. And that's kind of why I think Candela like has been able to like get to where we are. We respect one another. We're not afraid to help each other or ask for help too.
I love that. It's such a good company culture, and they've definitely built something really beautiful. And it's amazing that you've been kind of able to be there to help orchestrate that. I feel like you're definitely, just from your energy, can feel that you're like a really large pillar there. And excited to see what else you do with the brand, and excited to, you know, work with you guys moving forward.
Thank you. No, it's been so great talking to you guys, and we're so excited to have Whiskey and Water as part of Candela's brand family. So it's
And seriously, you did great for your first podcast. So thanks for hopping on. We're so happy to pop your podcast cherry.
Oh, thank you. No, you guys were so, this was so fun. Like, I feel like I'm just like FaceTiming with my girl.
Yeah, we are. So if people want to follow along with you and follow along with Candela Rums and Mama Juana, where can they find all of their links? We're going to put it in our show notes, of course, but just, you know, a little shout out to your links.
Yes. Keep up with Candela on Instagram at Drink Candela, and myself, I'm Andreana, A.NDREANNA. I'm not really that active on my Instagram, so follow Candela, follow along. We're always posting fun stuff, and yeah.
Amazing, guys. If you like this episode, please take a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, share it with a friend that you feel like might like this episode. We would so appreciate it. Tag us, drink, and tag at Drink Candela, and let them know that you were tuning in. And we will see you in 2 weeks.